Welcome to the Empathy to Impact podcast brought to you by Inspire Citizens. I'm your host, Scott Jameson. On this podcast, we are going to be diving into the voices and stories of students who own their learning and impact their communities. On this episode of Empathy to Impact, we're going to be diving into a serious issue: diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice. To help me with this, I'm joined by Larry, Itu, Chinwe, and Anna from the International School of Dakar in Senegal. There's a lot to unpack here, and these student leaders and changemakers have done some amazing work in their school community. We're not going to be able to get to all of this in one episode, so it's going to be split over two. Thanks for joining us on this journey, and hopefully the work of these students will inspire you to take a journey of your own. Welcome to the Empathy to Impact podcast. Today, I have the pleasure of being joined by four high school students from the International School of Dakar in Senegal, and they've been doing some amazing work, leading some professional development with teachers and making their school a safer place for the whole community and really having an impact on the culture at their school. So I want to introduce you to my guests today.
My name is Anna. This is my 10th year at ISD, and I'm a senior.
Hello, my name is Chinwe. I'm a 12th grader and this is my 5th year at ISD.
Hi, my name is Itu. I'm a senior and it's my 3rd year at ISD.
And I'm Larry. I'm in 11th grade and I use he, they pronouns.
Can you tell us a little bit about ISD and what, just a little bit about your community in Dakar for those of us who have never had the pleasure of visiting?
So ISD, as you mentioned, is in Senegal, so the coast of West Africa. And so I guess something that we all enjoy is the amazing view that we get at our school. We're right on the Atlantic, so that's really nice. Our school consists of 64 nationalities, I believe, elementary, middle, and high school or secondary.
And coming to ISD 3 years ago, I noticed, and as anyone would if they come in, is that we value community and building a strong community with our peers and people around us.
The four of you have been actively involved at your school in some social justice work. How did you get involved and when did this all start at ISD?
We got involved last year during our 11th grade and it all initiated from the June 2020 summer. And the first thing that kind of motivated us, I guess, was the three accounts that were created amid that summer. So Black at ISD, No More Silence at ISD, and Queer at ISD. And so coming back from that summer, for me personally, I felt like it was my duty as a student to speak up for others, and because I've also suffered some of the injustices that other people suffered as well, it taught me the importance of allyship and just, I guess, being a voice for others. So yeah, it also just naturally started as conversations within the student body, and then obviously with the help of Dr. Johnson.
Yeah, just building off what Anna said, these Instagram accounts were like students demanding change. They're sharing their stories and putting it out there for other students to see, but also for the administration. And so coming back, we were lucky in that the administration took these concerns and going forward was going to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so part of that is having student voice. Like, what do we as students want to see in our school? And so we came together and talked about what is it that we want to do and how do we create a safe place to do this? And that's kind of how the Social Justice Council started, as a way to take these stories that came out of Instagram and then create action in a way that's student-led and that's student-oriented.
Yeah. And for me, I don't think there was really a choice. I mean, obviously, I could have decided not to engage and participate in making a change, but then it just comes down to the simple fact of that if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. So you need to be active in changing your community to what you want it to be.
And then for me, it started before the summer of June 2020. When I was in seventh grade, I think, I started the Gender and Sexuality Alliance at the school. And at first, it was more centered around discussion and creating an environment where students could come and feel a sense of community with other queer people at our school. But as we went on, we started enacting some change We prepared some lessons for advisories. We started a lot of things that we didn't finish, but this year is when we did the public development presentation on creating a safe space for LGBTQ plus students. And that was one of the biggest pieces of action that we did so far, but there's a bunch of other things we did as well.
You mentioned the importance of having that support from administration at the school. You mentioned Dr. Johnson, and there's other trusted adults in the school community who have really empowered you to take on this difficult issue. What are some of the things that they've done to help allow you to be in a leadership position and drive change in your school community?
These adults, they're there to support us, but they're not there to tell us what to do. You know, that it's like guidance. It's like support. Like, we're here for you if you need us, ask us questions, but it's up to you guys to like figure out what issues you want to talk about. And so like when constructing these professional development trainings, we brainstormed with them and like came up with like the structure and the format. But it was up to us to decide what did we actually want to talk about, what information do we want to share, and how do we want to talk about it. And so these adults are needed in the sense that they provide support and they give you resources that you might not have available before. But it's really important to give students the autonomy to choose what they want to talk about. And that's what we've had. So it's like support, but not like instruction.
And also, as I keep saying, the importance of conversation. And so for me, even before we gave the PD, I realized that within the classrooms, we were having a lot more discussions that we weren't comfortable having prior to this. And so I really commend these teachers for also getting out of their comfort zones, because it's hard even for teachers to, again, bring these discussions to the table. And so we saw this implemented in their lessons, and just in general, it was easier to approach them with certain difficult conversations.
Yeah, and I think definitely with the guidance of the administration and Dr. Johnson, they helped us shape, not augment or change it, but shape our message in a way that will be better received by faculty, because you have to realize the difference of power, you know, from a student and a student talking to faculty members. So we had to shape our message in a way that would be better received by them. And they helped us do that.
Yeah, and like part of this like discussion is sharing stories. And that's like, that can be, that's trauma right there. And so like working through that trauma in a way that you're having conversation, that's not accusatory, that's like, that's constructive basically. And so that's what they really helped us like achieve.
Why is it so important to have student voices in these conversations?
PDs are often places where teachers learn about like how to create a safe environment for students, how to facilitate critical thinking. So there are discussions about students, but they're without students. And so we wanted to have student voice in these discussions because student voice is really important. Nothing about us without us is for us. And so that's a really important message to kind of carry across. And so like we start with PDs, but we want to go further. We want to have student voice within like recruitment processes where like these coming months during interviews for IC teachers, students can be part of that discussion. We want to have students in the health and safety committees for COVID. We want to have students' voice when talking about students basically. And that was like one of the main motivators for doing this PD, is like injecting student voice.
Yeah. And as Chinwei mentioned, it can be, I guess, frustrating if we're being honest, to constantly hear teachers say like, you know, we want to make this a safe environment, a safe learning environment, and just like repeatedly hearing those words safety, but at the same time, we're not really involved in those processes, or we're not really aware of what's happening behind the scenes. And so like Chinwei said, that's why it's really important for us to be exposed to this.
Yeah. And I think that when it comes to issues of diversity, inclusion, and equity in school, like in the context of the school surrounding, I think students are the ones that are most affected. So if you want to make change that will best suit them, you need to include their experiences, perspectives, and opinions.
What did it feel like to be leading professional development for teachers as high school students?
At first, throughout the process of planning, I think I speak for all of us when I say we weren't nervous at all, like just creating the presentation and creating everything. It flowed naturally, but then the day of, I guess, nerves started to kick in. And thankfully, Zoom was there to kind of create that barrier and it wasn't as nerve-wracking as it would have been if it was in real life. And so in a more meaningful way, it was definitely a very important experience and a very meaningful experience for all of us. And I think we all learned a lot about ourselves.
Yeah, definitely what Anna said, like, it wasn't nervous, but there's also like a vulnerability to this, because part of the presentation is speaking about things you're passionate about and also like sharing your own personal stories, which I felt the teachers like were really impacted by. Mm-hmm. So standing up there, and whether we did an in-person one and also a Zoom one, mm-hmm. and sharing your story, there's definitely a vulnerability to that. But also knowing that teachers chose to come to these PDs, they signed up and they wanted to hear from you. So there's this vulnerability, but it's also empowering. Like, you understand that teachers are willing to learn from you. And so going outside the PD, I feel more empowered to talk to teachers about these like difficult conversations, because I know that they listened to me in the past and that they continue to want to learn and know my opinion.
For me personally, I was nervous. I'm glad that they went, but I was so nervous. And coming from the context, I'm South African and I spend most of my education there, and coming from that context where you're taught that a teacher is a person that you cannot contradict or call out or anything like that, you know, that obvious power that they have, and then speaking to, coming to ISD and then having to speak to the entire faculty at the first PD was nerve-wracking, honestly, but I'm glad for the experience.
Also, as Chinwe mentioned, like, when discussing these issues, we do get passionate. And so something that we all learned was the importance of learning how to spread your message in a way that will be absorbed well. And so making sure, although you can be passionate, just remain professional and remain calm, for sure, it was really important.
For me, I wasn't really nervous. I don't know, it was just kind of natural. And we had the presentation prepared and we knew what we were gonna say. So in that way, it wasn't super nerve-wracking for me. And especially we were in the room where we usually would hold our GSA meetings. So that also added an element of, I guess, comfort or feeling less stressed about the presentation. I think the process of making the presentations was kind of frustrating, because there were so many things that we wanted to include, but the time constraints wouldn't allow for us to have all the topics that we wanted to include. But there's going to be more in the future, so that's going to be our opportunity to put in those things that we didn't get a chance to in the previous PDs.
Yeah, I just want to add something with regards to us being nervous and how the importance of having guidance from like Ms. Nika and all the other counselors was that we would come together before every single PD and talk about how nervous and excited we are, but then she would remind us that those feelings are good feelings, because then it exemplifies how much this work means to you. So she was important to us.
I'm thinking too that this is probably a bit of a new experience for teachers at your school to have professional development led by students, and a really cool opportunity. I'm wondering if you got any feedback from some of the teachers after the session.
Overall, it was overwhelming support. They were glad to have this PD. They wanted to do it again. But also, it's opened up an avenue for conversation. Like, teachers will come up to me, talk about things I talked about in the PD, like have discussions about like how to implement pronouns in the classroom, or like how to create representation of marginalized communities in the classroom, and like what that looks like. And so the overwhelming, like, it's been overwhelming support, and it's kind of facilitated a lot of conversation.
Yeah, coming back on campus, our first PD was a day before campus opened, and we spoke to the entire faculty. It was a mandatory PD for teachers. And then coming, walking on campus and even leaving, you could feel the support and just how grateful teachers were to have had that experience. And they were thankful and giving us praises, which was nice.
I'd say, I guess, in contrary to what Yitu and Chinwe said, I wish I would have received more like verbal feedback from some teachers, because although the support was really empowering and it was lovely to just get recognition for what we did, I would have liked more like transparent and verbal feedback, because we still have a long way to go. And it's not like after that PD we haven't witnessed or experienced more injustices, but it's just to say that we still have to work on that level of transparency and just breaking the awkward barrier between students and teachers.
Yeah.
I agree with Anna. It's not like the teachers suddenly had this like switch after the PD. There's still a lot of things that need to be addressed and that teachers are continuing to do even after the presentation that we gave them. And that's why we need to continue this work forward, be able to address all the things that are important to us.
This is a difficult journey, I know, for a lot of schools and organizations all around the world. And it makes me think of a quote from James Baldwin. Not all things that are faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed unless it's faced. And you've made reference a couple of times that these are not easy conversations to have. Like a lot of times, especially when people have experienced injustice and discrimination, it can be a really painful experience. What has your school done to create a safe space to have these kind of conversations through some of the listening sessions that you've had at school? How have you made people feel okay telling these uncomfortable stories?
I think that first, the listening sessions were a really important thing to have. When he got back to school, trusted counselors would sit with like a group of students, like a whole grade, and just talk. And I think that was a really important like first step, in the sense that it opened up future conversations. So like while that wasn't a safe place with a safe counselor, I think it also opened up avenues to have discussions within classrooms, like for students, for teachers to bring up these difficult issues, and just for students to feel okay to talk about them because they have in the past. So that was like the really important first building block. But then going forward, like teachers, well, it's not perfect. Some teachers have like incorporated like different perspectives, different information that I don't think would have been there otherwise if we hadn't started talking about diversity, equity, inclusion. Like within my French class, we're doing like reading comprehensions. So we did a reading comprehension about like homosexuality in Africa and like the laws behind that. So it's a process and it's still going. And I still think that some people don't always feel empowered to speak up, but just by continuing those conversations and like reoccurring, whether it's in French or English or like econ, it's like throughout the curriculum, it's getting there.
For sure. And to second that, I think it also shows something that we were trying to spread during our presentation, which is culturally responsive teaching. And it helps us realize that teachers are picking up on what we want them to, and teachers are becoming more aware of the fact that like when teaching a student, you have to teach them different perspectives, not just the typical IB curriculum, or when reading novels, don't focus on like US-centric novels or just novels that are typically read. So just like little things that are only about like concrete social justice issues, but just different ways to, I guess, bring new perspectives for the student body.
I read a piece recently that was written by your head of school, Dr. Knobloch. A lot of times, school leaders and teachers don't always know everything that's going on within the school. If we think about the different social justice movements that we've seen over the last couple of years, a lot of them are closely tied with social media. You mentioned earlier on that some of the social media groups at your school, like for example, Black at ISD on Instagram, how did social media influence the work that's being done at your school?
When you think about the context of our current situation, right, and you realize that the importance of social media just globally, not for social justice movements, social media provided a platform for students to speak because they know they'll reach, like most of the student body has active social media accounts, you know, so it just provided a platform for students to share what they wanted and anonymously also.
And so that essentially made students feel safe in spreading their message because, you know, they didn't have the fear of being judged or receiving negative feedback, I guess. And also, I'd say that it's not always nice to hear these stories. And so in those Instagram accounts, it was really powerful, like being able to like really envision the narratives that students and teachers and faculty were sharing, because it makes us realize in order to move on and find new solutions for these problems, we need to be able to sit with ourselves and really reflect on the problems and face the problems in order to, again, find solutions. Because people tend to try to overlook or just they don't want to read about negative things.
Yeah, like these Instagram pages like allow students a platform, something they didn't really see in school. Like they create a platform for themselves. As you just talked about, anonymity was really important because not only did it give students like a safe place so they can be completely honest and talk about it, but it also made the person reading think, who is this? It could be anyone. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't just a tied to a face. It was a community. It was like any person, any student I'm teaching, anyone I interact with could have faced this problem. And that, I think, also was really impactful.
As Chinwe said, like, that anonymity made people realize their own biases that they would have had if the names were shared or if people were aware of who experienced that. And so, again, it just makes you reflect and sit with yourself and think, okay, this could have happened to anyone. And so I need to be able to challenge myself and hold myself accountable.
Yeah. And the social media accounts also were effective in empowering students to an extent, because when I'd open my ISD, for example, and my Instagram, and I'd see a post by the ISD page or the Black at ISD page, and I look at the interactions and I look at the support that the post is getting, it empowers another student to feel comfortable to posting their story. And then from then on, the message spreads and we begin to receive different perspectives and experiences from students.
We're going to pause the conversation here. Thank you for listening. I hope you found this inspiring, and I hope you'll join us again for part 2 in a couple weeks' time.
If you've enjoyed this episode, let's keep the conversation going on Twitter at @ScottJ_onWheels, or you can find out more about Inspire Citizens on our website, inspirecitizens.org. Thanks for listening.